Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
All right, it's time to get into sports talk in and around the DMV, as I am glad to welcome my listening audience to Listen In with KNN Sports Talk radio show and podcast presented right here on our home of Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Now this week we are welcoming a very special guest who has ties to Maryland, the one and only Kevin Frazier of Entertainment Tonight. Of course, he's the great host that many of us watch each and every weeknight as we catch up on our latest and greatest entertainment news. But today we're taking a different tone for the show as we are paying tribute to his late great father, Nathaniel Nat Frazier, aka Coach Frazier, who recently earned his wings. With that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN or hashtag LIWKNN. And with that, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with our very special tribute edition of Listen In with KNN presented by Fox Sports Radio right here. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond, where I am now glad to welcome you back with my very special guest, Mr. Kevin Frazier, host of Entertainment Tonight. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm great. It was it's been a magical day.
And I'm so glad to hear that. And Kevin, for those that don't know, Kevin was so gracious enough to come on this very show. After Tuesday morning, there was a beautiful, wonderful memorial service at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland, at the Murphy Fine Arts Center, honoring his father, who is truly an icon and a legend here, especially within the Maryland community, the late, great Nathaniel Nat Frazier. Kevin, how was the memorial service, and how kind of did the plans come together to do it at Morgan State University?
It was fantastic. And, you know, after he passed, I think there was no other place that we could think of. I mean, he spent so many great years at Morgan and accomplished so many things. And so it was the place where, you know, he could kind of go home. And we called the school and they were amazing. They were gracious. They helped set up everything. It was a spectacular, spectacular day. And, you know, so many of the former players showed up.
Nice. And it's great, obviously, to see that support, because he had such an impact on the Morgan State University community and overall HBCUs. And for those that don't know, Nat coached at Morgan State University in Baltimore from 1972 to 1977 and from 1986 to 1989. And during that time, he was named the Associated Press Coach of the Year in 1974. After he guided Morgan State to the NCAA Division II championship. Now, Kevin, I'm going to take you back in time and take me to what that was like as a son, just having your father accomplish such great feats.
It was unbelievable because, you know, my father, the interesting thing he used to do is he allowed me to sit on the bench next to him during games. So during games, I sat right next to him as a kid. And so during that run in 74 as a 10-year-old, I sat on the bench next to him. We talked. I was in every huddle. I went with them to the, you know, back then the tournament after the regionals, it was eight teams that went, not a Final Four. And, you know, spending that week there in Evansville, Indiana, as they won that national championship, there's nothing like it. And when you see that national championship picture, I'm standing right there with him. It was probably the greatest gift that anyone could give to their child because, you know, people always ask me, do I ever get nervous or, you know, do I, when I'm interviewing people or doing things, and I'm like, no, not at all. Because, I mean, I used to get nervous during the basketball games and literally my father would walk me through what was going on. I mean, he might be arguing with an official and then he would turn around and he would say, you know, he would turn around and say, here's the offense we're going to run. Here's the defense we're going to run. Here's the substitution we're going to make. This is how this should match up and work. It was pretty cool.
Nice. You were always involved in basically like an assistant coach it seems like, at a young age. And he's actually involved in the system. So did the players also embrace that for you?
100%. And, you know, also, one of the things we talk about at the memorial service is that I'm not really, I love the job I do, and I love meeting and dealing with so many people that are in, you know, the eye of pop culture. But really, the real heroes in my life are these guys that were there. These are the people who were my heroes growing up and that I looked up to. And so I was with my heroes the whole, you know, the whole time when I was a little kid. So it was pretty amazing to be around them all the time. And that's who I talked about. And that's who I couldn't wait to get to practice and see the things they do. And those guys left an incredible impression on me as a young man.
Wow. And obviously it paid off, because as you said, now in your day to day job, is you took those lessons and you incorporated it. And I know that's something your father would be just so proud of you, Kevin, just the fact that you were able to do that. Just hearing you speak so eloquently of him, it's honestly so positive to hear. So 7 seasons at the helm of Morgan State basketball, he became the 10th winningest coach in Division II history of all time. So saying that, Kevin, just when you hear that, for people that just don't fully know the whole HBCU kind of basketball scene, I mean, how big would you describe that 1974 year for Morgan State and HBCUs?
And here's what I will explain. There was a great story written about 1974, because in 1974, University of Maryland had this great team, one of their greatest teams ever. At the same time, in the same state, you had the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and they were ranked in the top 25 of Division I teams. Morgan was the number one team in Division II college basketball, and you had these three great teams that had three amazing seasons. And, you know, this is still a time where top athletes went to HBCUs. And so the competition and level of play was unbelievable. And that year when Morgan played Maryland Eastern Shore, there were 10,000 people in a sold out Civic Center. And when they played again, they sold the Civic Center out again. It was unbelievable, the atmosphere and the hype around it and the great players. And after they won the national championship, I mean, the team did commercials on TV. And at that time, that's a big deal to be on TV.
Yeah.
But the level of play at Black college basketball was unbelievable. And, you know, it was interesting because Jemele Hill recently wrote an article about why don't more players go to HBCUs. And you look at the one and done. Yeah, and you look at the one and done mentality of kids. It doesn't make sense that they wouldn't choose an HBCU to do their time as a one and done, because players get to the NBA and have gotten to the NBA, lots of great players from HBCUs. As a matter of fact, there were 4 players on that University of Maryland Eastern Shore team that did time in the NBA. And the Morgan team was a great, great team. And so those players all got the exposure and the coverage, and they were one of, you know, the darlings of this state. And so it was an amazing time. And it's so hard for kids to grasp nowadays, but it was in basketball. It was in football. I mean, every year Morgan State would play Grambling at Yankee Stadium. Doug Williams was the quarterback for Grambling, you know, for 2 of those years. You know, record-setting quarterback that would go on to play for the Redskins. And you had so many great players. I mean, on the field, in the football field, they would have 10 to 12 pros in those games. So, once again, Black college sports is a viable alternative, and we need to choose to make it a viable alternative again.
And I love hearing you say that, Kevin. I was just on WHUR last week saying this very thing that you're saying. And I'm the daughter, Kevin, of a Gramblinite. So much like you, I have the HBCU roots. And so I grew up with knowing those, you know, great coaches and great players that were there. You talked about it. Some of the big names. And, of course, you had people like Archie Cooley at Mississippi Valley State University, who coached the great Jerry Rice. And then, you know, it goes on and on and on. And it's sad now that today, that HBCUs, you know, just continue to see not those 5-star recruits going to those universities, which, of course, kind of hurts the amount of scouts they get and the amount of TV coverage they get and so on and so on. But I thought Jemele's piece was great, and I really hope it's something that those kids in high school are starting to look at and really see it's a viable option, and that if they're talented everything else will follow them. The scouts, the media attention, the scholarships, hopefully that path to the, you know, whatever they want to do next. So I think your father will be inaugural in that, because much like you, everyone talks about the great Morgan State days. And I think your father was a huge part of that. And even you saying that, and I'm sure this is something that you even preach to your kids of your own.
What's really fascinating about that whole conversation now is that Morgan is growing, and I look at the changes they're making. I mean, when my father arrived at Morgan, it was a sleepy little place with a dirt road, you know, and like six buildings, and that was it. And now it is this massive university that encompasses much of the neighborhood that surrounded it also. So there is, you know, there are facilities now, and I don't understand. And I remember, I believe it was Gerard Mustafa who ended up going to the University of Maryland, I think, who, when he was being recruited, his last two schools were Maryland and Howard. And it's interesting that you don't even hear players saying, well, I'm considering these schools. And they even include a HBCU in that list. And I always say that, you know, at some point, there's going to be some kid who the light turns on. And he says, look, I'm going to play for 1 year. I'm going to get drafted no matter what. Why not go and get the Black college experience and also help really bring attention to one of these schools?
Exactly. And hearing you say that, Kevin, and I hope people out there really know that, as you said, the attention will follow you. And I think the last time I can remember kind of just notable media attention came when Kalen Newton, who, of course, is Cam Newton's little brother, chose to attend Howard University. And, of course, he's now the starting quarterback at Howard University. But we need more of that. And I hope, again, it echoes, because as you said, if you're talented, you will get to the NFL, the NBA, or whatever league you want. And there's many examples of that. And I don't know for some reason, it's like we've been brainwashed into thinking we have to go to the biggest colleges or universities. And hopefully you get a chance to start at one of those schools. But why not go to an HBCU? Like you said, get the culture, the experience, learn about yourself, and then also probably get a better opportunity to play.
Yeah, well, what's really fascinating is that team in 1974 was made up of guys who nowadays, for the most part, would have gone to these big other institutions. And, you know, we were still at a time where you were still dealing with, you know, that civil rights was still, you know, a major issue, and all these schools hadn't fully integrated. And you'd have at these big schools one or two African-American players on the squad, not an entire, you know, not now like you look and they have eight, but and so it was a different time. And because of that, the power dynamic shifted. It was unfortunately a time before television and the internet, because that is where the Black colleges in sports wise missed the curve. Because if you had had those powerhouse teams and you had had any kind of cable television or any kind of internet where you could get the message to the masses, my goodness, what a difference it would have made, and what a difference it would make in the revenue that they would generate today.
Exactly. That exposure that they unfortunately failed to get. And as you said, the revenue wise, it's just been tough times. I remember the story broke a couple of years ago about the athletic facilities at Grambling State University and what they were going to do. Since now the facilities has been fixed, you know, every day we go on social media, you see these nice facilities at LSU and the Alabamas, and they're putting millions of dollars into this. And unfortunately, we don't see those same type of things at HBCUs. And when I talk to many student athletes many times, when they say they did visit the HBCUs, they're saying they're not seeing those same types of facilities, which we know, of course, comes from funding. But that's also why we have to get these talented players back at our colleges that not only matter for sports, but just matter historically to us, because we know why HBCUs were started in the first place. And I think preserving their legacy is just so important. And again, your father is just a living, breathing example of that, helping so many student athletes. So I'm taking you back to Morgan State, Kevin, and take me back to 2004 when he was inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame at Morgan State University.
It was an amazing, amazing night, because he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and they also honored the 1974 team later on, and at a game, and getting all those guys together was so unbelievable. Because, you know, the one thing that you never forget is when you have accomplished something that people saw as to be impossible. And a lot of people never believe that, you know, a small black college could do something like win a national championship. And when they pulled that feat off, it was incredible. And, you know, my father changed the way that black college basketball was changed and the way it was played and the way, you know, he came in and at the time it was like you get five athletes, you put them on the floor and you just run up and down. And he was like, no, we're gonna run a structured offense and we're gonna slow the game down into the 50s and we are really gonna make you think through your decisions with every shot you take because we are doing the same. And so it was just a very different kind of basketball that you hadn't seen at HBCUs, and it really and he had the right players at the right time, and they really made it work.
And just going from that, his success at Morgan State University, he then went on to serve as an assistant coach for the New York Knicks in the NBA. So tell me how that transition kind of happened. I mean, what was that experience
it was great.
For him and your family?
Willis Reed had, my father met Willis Reed years back, and Willis actually had come to our house when I was really, really little. We were at the University of Illinois, and then later at Morgan, Willis had come and he was scouting for the Knicks and he wanted to scout Marvin Webster when he was younger. And the one thing he was fascinated by was he was like, I love the way you guys play basketball and I love your ability. I mean, my father really was a master tactician at the game of basketball. And so he was like, I want to run these offenses. When Willis got hired at the Knicks, he said, I want to run these offenses. I want to play that style of basketball in the NBA now. And so I want you to come along and install all that and do that. And so it was amazing. I mean, it's crazy to, you know, get off the train in New York City at Penn Station, Madison Square Garden, and go up the escalator to your father's office inside Madison Square Garden. To then sit, you know, to sit right across from the bench. You know, when I used to go to those games, I used to sit next to Iman, the model. She was married to Spencer Haywood. And so it was crazy that we would go to see these games and we would sit right next to Iman. And I would sit courtside and take pictures the whole game. And it was something that you never forget. It was fantastic. And, you know, in the end, Spencer and Iman didn't stay married. She ended up marrying David Bowie, but she is considered, you know, one of the groundbreaking models of all time. And I just go and I say, you know, here's this 11, 12-year-old kid. He's just sitting there talking to one of the most famous supermodels in the world every single game. It was crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure many would have wanted to switch places with you at that very time.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that you got to do that. And just hearing you talk about, I mean, he's done so much for basketball. He started at it really in high school. He's a three-sport star athlete. So it seemed like basketball was just always in his genes. So I'm just curious, did he ever tell you what was his proudest accomplishment in his sports career?
Everything came back to his guys, everything. I mean, he was proudest of that national championship, but he was also proud every single day of all his guys, because to watch them grow up as men, and whether they are, you know, one of his players, Billy Newton, working for the FBI, or Jason McCoy, who spoke at the service today, who, you know, is now an administrator in the Howard County school system here where my parents live in Columbia. There are guys in every walk of life with all kinds of different degrees and all kinds of different professions. And so it meant the world for him to see these young African American men grow up. And all of them, you know, all of them would constantly stay in touch. They call, they stop by the house, they check on them. And, you know, one of the top stage managers in Hollywood, Robert Sellers, he played for my father. And, you know, the next thing you know, he's the stage manager of Dancing with the Stars. He's working on the Oscars. He's working on all these programs. So so many players went on to do so many varied and different and incredible things. And every day he loved talking about that, and he loved talking to them. And that was no doubt his greatest accomplishment.
Yeah, he prepared them for life after basketball.
Yes.
Preparing the success that they had. is huge, and it makes me inspired and happy. And I really hope the young people out there listening understand that, because as great as, you know, as many great NBA players as we want to see, there's other careers too that others will go on to, and they found success in that, and happiness in your father, I think, helped nurture that. And I'm sure they use many of the skills that he helped teach them. And also, he didn't just spread it to the men. I also love that he spread it to the woman as the general manager and coach of the Virginia Wave of the Women's American Basketball Association. So what was that experience like, switching from men's to women's basketball?
Well, you know, basketball is basketball. That's one of the funny things. His dying day, he loved watching the WNBA, and that's something that he ingrained in my brother and I. We watch and go to. I attend a lot of WNBA games because of him, because great players are great players. You know, you don't have to be able to dunk the ball to play great basketball. And that's why he loved it. And it really wasn't that big of a, you know, people say, oh, well, what's the big difference? Just some different players, but he was running the same offenses and playing the same defenses and doing the same thing. So it was a precursor to the WNBA. And, you know, the league didn't work out, but they laid the pathways so that there would be a league one day and a viable league for these great basketball players in the United States.
Yes, and here we are today, and now actually we're watching the WNBA finals as it is now. Knowing that your father, like you said, helped to pave that, I think is huge. And, you know, and I'm hoping during this time here that the Washington Mystics team made him proud.
How about that? How about that?
And just going back to just some of his coaching career and some that he's done, one part, Kevin, that really just amazed me was I found out that he was a group of pioneers that actually helped to integrate the Big Ten coaching staff. That's major. Yeah. That's huge.
Well, he was at the University of Illinois back when they were beginning to recruit and play black athletes. And people were like, well, I mean, we want to integrate this league. And so they're like him, George Raveling, a few other guys that were on the staffs of the Big Ten that helped recruit some of the first African-American players. And as a matter of fact, one of the first players he recruited out of the state of Illinois for the University of Illinois was a guy named Alvin O'Neill, who when Nat left and went to Morgan, Nat said, come with me, Alvin. And Alvin was one of the guys who helped institute all those offenses and everything that Nat ran, those intricate offenses, and he helped that national championship team, you know, get over the hump and win that title. But it was, you know, he could have stayed there and eventually coached one of those, you know, one of those programs, I'm sure, in the Big Ten. But it was, you know, his calling was this little school in Maryland and what they built at Morgan State.
And Kevin, just last but not least, what do you want people most to remember your father by when we look back at his legacy and his memory?
I hope that they remember that once upon a time, there was this man who helped change the culture of black college basketball and the way basketball was perceived, and that he gave his heart and soul to the game and but more importantly, the people and the players. He loved his players and the people that he educated at Morgan, later at Bowie State. But I hope they never forget that he touched so many people. And that was the great thing about the memorial service, all the people coming up, telling stories and talking about him. It was beautiful.
Oh my gosh. And Kevin, just before I let you go, is there a way people can still watch the memorial service? And if they want to send cards or flowers, can you give that information?
Yeah, it is online. It is on the Morgan State Journalism Department's YouTube page, and you can watch it there. And it is saved. They streamed it live, but now it is saved, and you can watch it there.
Perfect, Kevin. Thank you so much for your time. We know you're extremely busy, but again, our condolences, and again, thank you for sharing the story of just your legendary father, and so proud of you and all the work that you're doing. And please keep up the great work and paving the way for us all. Perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, sports fans, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to me. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play. And once again, before we leave the show, I want to thank Kevin Frazier for coming on the show and discussing the life and legacy of his late father, Nathaniel Nat Frazier, born April 18th, 1935, and he passed away September 22nd, 2019, at the age of 84. Gone but never forgotten. We thank him for the contributions to the basketball world on the pro level, and the collegiate level, and the high school level, and as a whole, and also to women's basketball that he touched. And we also just thank him for forever changing sports, and especially giving love to our historically Black colleges and university. Again, gone but never forgotten. We will always remember you, Nathaniel Nat Frazier. Thank you for your contributions to the DMV community and to the world beyond. Thanks for listening.